actually be a surprise to us. At least half the Sabbaths in the past 6 weeks have been special ones. The reason is that we are preparing for Passover. We're building up to the greatest, and what I think is the greatest Jewish holiday, and certainly my favorite, Pesach, Passover. There was the Sabbath of Parah, Shabbat Parah, where we looked at the story of the red cow, a weird story in the book of Numbers that talks about purification and cleanliness before the Most High, and how we needed to be clean and righteous in order to enter into God's presence for Passover. We saw a couple weeks ago the Sabbath called the Sabbath of the month, Shabbat HaKodesh. And it was the Sabbath leading up to the first month of the Jewish calendar, the month of Nisan, where we have the holiday of Passover. Again, preparing us for the great time of encountering the Most High in our freedom, not only remembering our deliverance from bondage and slavery in Egypt, but looking forward to God's continuous deliverances in our lives. And so today is another one of those special Sabbaths. It's called Shabbat HaGadol, the Great Sabbath. Gadol is the adjective that means great, big, large, the big Sabbath, the great Sabbath, Shabbat HaGadol. And the rabbis were, well, as often happens, they had different ideas on many things, including why this was called the Great Sabbath, Shabbat HaGadol. There was the idea that it had to do with a few days before Passover, how originally in the Sabbath or the Passover story in the book of Exodus, a few days before Passover, 5 days precisely, they would select a lamb that would be the lamb that they would slaughter and eat on Passover evening. And perhaps it is in keeping with a few days before Passover that we remember that Passover lamb. It's interesting to me when we look at the stories of Messiah in the Besorah, the good news, we find out that Messiah, Yeshua, entered into Jerusalem 5 days before Passover, when we call, in Christian tradition, it's called the, what is it called? Palm Sunday? All right, thank you. Palm Sunday, 5 days before Messiah died. He enters into Jerusalem, and there he is tested and examined by the people, by the priests, by the scribes, by the Romans. And in the end, they find him unacceptable. And he dies on Passover. According to the book of John, Messiah dies at the exact same time that the lambs, the Passover lambs, are being slaughtered in the temple just a few hundred yards away from where Yeshua dies. John wants to push us to the point of recognizing that Messiah and Passover go together. You can't pull them apart. And show up on Tuesday evening at 6:30 in Richmond, and we'll talk more about it for about 3 hours. And we'll spend more time talking about all those foods than we will actually eating them. But there's so much to talk about when it comes to Passover. It's such an amazing holiday. You know, he took the cup on that last Seder that he celebrated with his followers, and he said, "This cup after dinner is the new covenant in my blood." He said. He said he broke the bread and he said the matzah. Actually, he broke the matzah and said, "Eat this. This is connected with me." And what's he talking about? And all that becomes clear when he dies on Passover at the same exact time as the lambs are being sacrificed in the temple. He means that he is the Passover lamb. You cannot separate Passover from Messiah. You cannot imagine Jesus without thinking about Passover. It is the most important of our Jewish holidays. There's one rabbi in our association named Jonathan Kahn that 3 or 4 years ago at Messiah Conference, that big conference I want you all to go to in Pennsylvania, that he gave a presentation arguing that Yeshua was born at Passover time, just before Passover time, he argued. On the 10th of Nisan, the day, the lamb selection day, when the lambs were selected for sacrifice for the Passover offering. There is, I don't know when Messiah was born. I always ran with the idea that Messiah was born during the Feast of Sukkot, Tabernacles in the autumn time. I do know that according to Jewish tradition, there is an expectation that it will perhaps be at Passover time when Messiah comes. Messiah comes at Passover. And that is indeed when he was sacrificed for us on the tree on Passover as the Passover lamb. I want to jump into one of the readings that Gail mentioned in her overview, the book of Malachi, Malachi in English that gets transmuted to Malachi. It means my messenger. And it is the reading for this Sabbath, the great Sabbath, Shabbat HaGadol, is from Malachi chapter 3. The numbering, by the way, between your Hebrew Bible and your English translations, the verse numberings are different. And so if they don't quite line up with whatever you have or looking at on your iPhone, it's all there. Some of the numbers might be different. But we are told in Malachi, and as Gail said, it was the very last prophet, the last written prophet that we have. Of course, it wasn't the last Jewish prophet, but it was the last prophet that wrote anything that we have. And we have this statement in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, or chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, depending on if you have a Tanakh or an English Bible. It says, "See, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and I will strike the land with desolation." see, God says, behold, I am sending. One commentator that I explored this week noted that the verb there is a participle, that I am sending. And it implies the idea of a continuous action. I continue sending, that commentator took it. I keep sending Elijah to you, and he will come before the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord in Scripture is very common in the prophets. Even the book of Revelation talks about how John says, I was in the Spirit and in the day of the Lord. He's not talking about Sunday, by the way, when he says on the Lord's day. It just simply means the day of the Lord. And he sees this vision of what the day of the Lord is all about. So this day of the Lord concept is a time that we look forward to. Well, there's really bad things that happen associated with the day of the Lord. And then there's really good things that happen, too. And so depending on which picture you're thinking about, it's the awful times or it's the wonderful times. It's both together. I just love it the way the Bible has us hold things in tension at the same time, and though we don't always understand it. God says, behold, I'm sending Elijah before the day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. Or else, I will strike the land with desolation, with destruction. Jael mentioned a little earlier that in the Passover Seder, the meal that we get together during the week of Passover and share with one another, that Elijah plays a prominent role in that meal. There is an expectation at every Passover Seder that Elijah will show up. Elijah will show up at dinner with us on Monday night, Tuesday night, how many ever Seders that you have. By the way, I encourage you, if you have never had a Seder in your home, I encourage you to do one in your home. Just don't come to our congregational Seder. Have them in your home. This is and invite somebody over to join you. Anyway, I digress. That was a commercial. I was on Elijah. Okay. There's an expectation that Elijah will show up. Why? How? I mean, he lived like 3,000 years ago. Not quite 3,000 years ago. But according to the tradition of Scripture, Elijah never died. Elisha saw him carried off in a fiery chariot by God out of sight. And Elijah, this prophet of very zealous, bold prophet, he's shown up some in the readings that we've been discussing here in the past few months. A very bold, dynamic, very aggressive, in-your-face kind of prophet is carried off to heaven. According to tradition, he never dies. And here, he's mentioned at the very end of the prophets. There is a mention of Elijah. God says, I'm going to send Elijah. Elijah's going to come back. If he never died, that means he's still alive, I guess. So Elijah can come back. And so he plays a role in the Passover Seder. To exactly know what role, you'll need to come on Tuesday night at 6:30. Oh, sorry, that's another commercial. He actually plays a role in other Jewish events and life cycle events. Can you think of any? A breast, exactly. During the circumcision ceremony, when a baby boy, 8 days old, is circumcised. Elijah plays a prominent role in that ceremony. Any other times that you can think of that we mention Elijah, Jewish holidays, life cycle events? When we, after we have our meal together every Sabbath afternoon, on Saturday afternoons, when we say the blessings after meals together, there's a line in there thanking the Most High. It calls him Harachaman, the compassionate one. Thanking the compassionate one for sending us Elijah the prophet, who remembers us for good news. Besorot tovot, good news, salvation, yeshuot, and comfort, nechamot. We thank God for sending us Elijah every Sabbath when we read the blessings after meals. Elijah plays a prominent role in Jewish tradition. But Elijah shows up also numerous times in different ways in the good news. For instance, look at Luke chapter 1. Okay, well, before I get there, I wanted to say something else. That passage in Malachi says that when he comes, when the Most High sends Elijah, that he'll renew relationships between things that are old and things that are new. And they will be restored and they will be unified. Things that are new will recognize the value of things that are old. And things that are old will embrace the new things. And it also speaks of it in terms of a family. The hearts of parents will be drawn to their kids. And the hearts of children will be restored with love to their parents. I have a friend that 3.5 years ago, is actually on Rosh Hashanah in 2011, I had the opportunity to spend all afternoon long talking with him. He was in a major crisis in his life. And it seems like only when he was in a major crisis was he willing to ask questions about God. And I kept saying, man, just God's the answer. Quit making God put you through these crazy things. I was with a Baptist minister friend, and the Baptist minister friend led him in what might be called a prayer of confession or something. And he was strong for a few weeks. The time came that it began to waver and dip, and then the line petered out. I still pray with him. I still talk with him. And I remember telling my wife that I know when he will have true evidence of God's presence in his life. You see, he has an extremely bitter, sad, crazy, mixed-up relationship with his father. He hasn't spoken to his father in years and doesn't plan on it. And I remember telling Karen, I know Ron will be showing evidence of the spirit of Messiah in his life, when that relationship with his Father can be restored. You see, because one of the things that Messiah in our life does is it renews relationships. It turns the hearts of the fathers to the kids. And the kids choose to love their parents once again, in spite of whatever crazy things have happened. The idea of honoring father and mother comes back up. When I was a little kid, I was always taught, or at least I always thought, that the commandment to honor your father and mother was written to kids. And then at some point it dawned on me, well, wait a minute. The Ten Commandments were addressed to adults. Adults are to honor your father and your mother, not just kids. But this is one of the things that Messiah enables us to do. We know that we have God's Spirit within us when broken relationships are restored and renewed. Well, with that in mind, look at Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And this is speaking, here God is speaking to a priest by the name of Zechariah, who's going to have a baby boy. After all, we had another baby boy earlier this week, right? And he says that in verse 15, he will be great before the Lord, and he will be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, God's Spirit, from his mother's womb. And many people in Israel will turn to the Lord their God because of him. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Elijah. That one who would come before the advent of Messiah. In Jewish tradition, Elijah is expected someday to come and solve all the disputes, to answer all the questions that we have. I even saw this week in Jewish literature that if there were two dogs that were fighting, well, that's what dogs do, is you get two dogs together and they fight. But if there were two dogs who were playing together, you knew it was because Elijah was there. I just thought that was incredibly amazing as an example of what Elijah does. And I thought that was the best example I could share with you. But here the angel of God tells Zechariah the priest that your son will go and live in the spirit and the power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient ones to the wisdom of righteousness, to make a people, to prepare a people for the Lord. Here, God is quoting himself from the book of Malachi, the very last verse of the prophets. Later in Luke chapter 1, in verse 77, it breaks into a beautiful poem, verse 76, and it says, "And you, child," this is still speaking of Yochanan, Yochanan HaBaptisti, Yochanan John the Baptist, or Yochanan HaPresbytery, John the Presbyterian. It says, "And you, child, will be called a prophet of Elyon, the Most High, and you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people through the removal of their sins, through our God's heart of mercy. The sun will rise from on high and come up on us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and those in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. To guide our feet in the way of peace. I've commented in the past how usually, not always, but many times, Jewish prayers end with the concept of peace. The priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6. The Amidah that we recited part of today. The song, Oshei Shalom. And indeed, this poem here ends with the concept of peace. The greatest thing that God could do was bring us peace and wholeness. And it's interesting that this passage alludes back to Malachi. What will happen when Elijah shows up? Gail quoted it earlier when she said that the sun will rise with healing in its rays. The Hebrew is even more poetic. The sun will rise with healing in his wings. It's the only time in all of Scripture that phrase, that idea appears. The power, the healing that is available when the sun rises on God's people. Here, it's speaking of preparing the way for Messiah. What will happen when Elijah shows up at our Passover Seder on Tuesday? What will happen when Messiah and Elijah show up at your house next week as you celebrate Passover? Let him in. Welcome him in. Welcome the presence of God into your home and into your life this week. Let it transform your relationships. Those severed, broken family relationships. Let your life be restored for Passover. Messiah comes in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he will meet with us on Passover once again. Just as he gave his life for us on a Passover many hundreds of years ago. So Messiah is available to meet with us once again on Passover. And I encourage you to celebrate the holiday not with a heart of malice, but celebrate Passover with a heart of peace, embracing Messiah Yeshua.